episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drunk, fuck, tonight. Open up to your bum.
A lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Welcome to Rick and Roro, on the 7th 28th, 2024. And I was just standing around feeling a bit wonky again, but, you know, I thought I saw Rolo posted something in there and I thought, is he functioning? He's in the green room at the moment, staggering around, looking for alcohol, opening fridges, slamming them. And here he is, Rolo. How are you, mate? And out of the green room into the studio.
Absolutely correct. Yeah. How are you, mate? Yeah, it was...
It's 28th like, of December, 2024. So it's not Boxing Day, though, Rolo. Boxing Day was two days ago. Yeah, it was the 26th.
But when it comes to Boxing Day, like, you know, I always think of... Who's the guy?
I don't.
I think of the superhero, the Australian guy, Deadpool and Wolverine. Wolverine, do you remember him?
Really?
Wolverine. Yeah,
I like Wolverine. Oh, I don't like Deadpool. No. I'm afraid not. But I like Wolverine.
Well, there you go. I mean, yeah, he made a lot of money out of it. He's really made the. The big dollars. What's his name? Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, but I'm talking about...
Yeah, he's made Wolverine. The big dollars. Big dollars. Oh, yeah.
I went to... Interestingly...
Why the hell did him and his wife split up? What was
because
her name?
She's about 20 years old.
Deborah
Lee Furness. No, so they went out. She was his, like... She was his much older woman. He would have only been in his 20s, and she was about 40.
That was great when they met. You know when they met? They met on an ABC TV show called, you remember when they were in prison or something? And,
yeah.
And they fell in love? And
yeah. What was that called, that one? Not Prisoner.
I don't think it was Prisoner. That was Mel Gibson.
No, but 19... they remade it again.
Yeah.
They remade it. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, and it could have been. I don't know. But that was. Yeah, you're right. It was on one of those things. And so she was way older than him by at least 10 years. That's unusual for a woman.
But she was still attractive. She was very attractive, even for older age. Yeah.
Yeah. What's his name? I can't remember his name. Hugh Jackman.
He had the little head. But his body was massive.
Well, he went to Knox College. Now, I'm telling you now.
that I drive along and I look and it's there's something evil about that school. And they're always in the there's always inquiries going on about, you know, things going on at night time with the teachers and the students. Oh yeah. And there's another one for women up the road that it looks they look like there's something evil about them, and it's they've got X's all over. Knox has X's all over the school. Very expensive school. Yeah. No,
look. My brother went to Knox College. Not Knox College. And yeah. Did and it, that just ran the corner of, you know, from where you kind of liked what's it called? Balmain. What's it called? Where the beat was. The beat was. I swear to God, it's called. I know where Balmain is in Sydney.
No, Knox there, is in the North Shore.
Around that corner. What's it called? Yeah. It's called. There was a rugby league team. What was it? Not Balmain. No, I'm. The blue ones.
North, not the Bears. Bears were North Sydney.
No, that's North Sydney. No, see, it's. I can hear you thinking. Right, it was a classic
South
gay boy. No, that's. I'm going to say the end.
A private
N word. I know where South is. I'm not going to say the N word.
Missing.
Okay. Russell Crowe bought that team. Remember that?
Oh, you're talking about South. I'm talking about South. South.
Yeah, Sydney. Yeah. But the team I'm thinking of is the Gay Boy, where the Gay Boys were, and I think I was gay at the time. Just the suburb. Just the suburb.
Darlinghurst.
It was classic. No.
Darlinghurst.
Oh, but I know we Darlinghurst. No, it was Newtown. It was called Newtown. Remember Newtown?
Newtown Jets.
Exactly.
They're all homosexuals.
They're all a bunch of homosexuals. There you go.
What, the Newtown Jets? They were tough as nails.
Because I love knocking around. Back in the day, I'm not a gay boy. I'm still straight.
You're a crypto as I've said.
Yeah, I am a crypto prof. Yeah, I think I'm a crypto prof. Well,
you're pretending.
Well, I remember when I was in Newtown, and I met some of the most famous Doc Neeson, who did I meet?
The Enmore Theatre, which was the best concert ever.
It's in Newtown.
Can I tell you a story? This is a true story. Every now and then wake up regretting.
Don't lie to me.
Because a friend of mine who was this guy I used to train with, right? I call him a colourful character. That's what it's called. He knew that Enmore was his area. He could walk in. He was one of those types of people. And one day, everyone knew me. He's like, oh, Rick, he won't go out at night because he has to work the next day. And I do. I've always knocked out going out.
Enmore did,
on certain nights. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I've been there. Yep.
It's a very popular venue, right?
Mm.
This is about 1990.
Mario Fennec used to run it, didn't he? Was that one of the
No. This is the Enmore. It's a concert venue. Anyway.
Okay.
The next day, I caught up with this guy and his girlfriend to have breakfast. Okay. And he goes, geez, we had a great night last night. We didn't ring you up, but because it's a work night for you. And I said, what'd you do? And he said, the Rolling Stones did a secret limited edition concert.
Wow.
For a warm up before their big tour. And they did it in a small theater that only held 200 to 300 people. And it was the tickets were. And he gave me the ticket, but it had my name. You know, I had a ticket unopened. And he thought, he goes, oh, you wouldn't have wanted to go though, would you? And I said, I would have wanted to go. And so, but get this, I brought Angus Young and his brother, the guitarist, Malcolm Young, got up and jammed with him for four songs. They did four songs with AC/DC. Brilliant. In a small venue, because I hate concerts, Riley. I do not like crowds.
That you didn't take him up on the
offer. He didn't ask me because he goes, oh, no, Rick won't want to go. Rick won't want to go.
I was given. I swear to God. I mean, I don't want to outdo your story, but I was given.
It's not that.
Well, I can. But I can because I was given the ticket to Tom Delpra, who's.
You wouldn't give
what was the, what was the name of the band?
Nutmeg.
Not Nutmeg. It was,
The Stranglers. The Stranglers.
Not the Strangers. No, it was, it was a band called Pink Floyd. I was given, I was given a ticket to Pink Floyd.
Why would you think of Tom Delpra? And right, because he knew.
Yeah, Sid because Barrett. He knew Sid Barrett. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but Sid Barrett would be.
I was given a ticket to Pink Floyd. It was $80. Could you believe how cheap that is? And it was a front row seat, and I didn't take him up on. I could have been there. Rick and Roller.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
It's Saturday the 28th of December. Rick and Rollo, do you remember? 2024.
Good one.
I was joking, yeah. So we were just talking about. I met the cousin of. When it comes to the most beautiful band in the world, I swear to God, I should have gone to see Pink Floyd. When he was who was singing at the time?
Roger Waters.
No, it wasn't. It was Dave Gilmour.
Dave Gilmour. Wasn't Pink Floyd.
Yeah, it was 1990. It was 1997. What was the name of that album?
Can I just tell you?
Go for it.
No wonder my ex previous left me eventually, and with good reason, because I was just. She bought me tickets to Roger Waters' The Wall, and it was a Saturday night. And I don't know why. Why wouldn't I have wanted to go to that? But for some reason, must have been depressed. I said no. We sold the tickets to somebody. I just didn't want to go. And I keep thinking back, going, why would I?
So you were a scalper. You're a scalper. So you scalped
We gave them for the price that she paid from to her father, and who just passed away.
So
she
you
just
weren't passed a scalper.
Away about 2 weeks ago.
No.
But I should have gone to the concert. Why didn't I go? I had a free ticket.
We all make mistakes. I do this all the time, Rollo.
I'm a serial offender. You know that I keep saying this, and I will keep repeating myself. You know that song, regrets. I've got a few, but then again, too few to mention. That's with me. I go every day. I go. Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I? I had an opportunity. I had a free ticket to Ozzy Osbourne. You know who was my favorite singer in the 80s and 90s.
His voice is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, but did you know this? This is according to Buzzing Frets from psychologist and over here. He has that guy from Ugly Kid Joe in the background singing. You know, there's a couple of singers singing his vocals in the background if he can't hit the notes. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. So I didn't know.
Ugly Kid Joe, the biggest song that they had was
I like the cover version.
You know the cover of it, Cats in the Cradle. I think it could be. Yeah.
And the one What I Hate About You or something or other.
No, it's My Neighbor. My Fucking Neighbor. Remember My Neighbor?
That song.
That's Ugly Kid. My fucking neighbor.
I love your neighbors. I think
I know you do. I don't. Yeah, I don't.
You don't, but I do. I love both sides.
Almost got me incarcerated. But that's.
Well, it got you digitally examined for cocaine.
That's right. Yeah, well, at least you've got a sense of humor. I still haven't watched the last of Sylvester Stallone. What's it called? the TV show that he's doing at the very moment.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the last
Something
one
Nights,
yet.
But what's it called? Something Nights. Tulsa.
I think it's Tulsa Nights.
Tulsa
King. Is he the King?
Tulsa King. He's, Tulsa King.
Yeah, Tulsa King. Yeah, that's right. And look, I'm a huge fan of Sylvester Stallone, and you're not a huge fan of Arnie either.
I was up until what he did.
Yeah, when he said when he said screw Britain.
There'll be no forgiveness to
I knew.
Did you see at any stage Sly Stallone standing up and saying, "Go and take a vaccine"?
Did he?
Did you see him? No.
Did Sly say that you should take it?
No, he didn't. Not as far as I'm aware, and I bet you he didn't.
Arnie did. Arnie, he goes, screw your freedom. Yeah, I know. That's right.
Yeah, no forgiveness.
Sly Stallone was on the stage with Donald Trump, and he shakes him and he gives him a big hug. It was great. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm.
He did more than that. He got up there and said he did this whole speech about Donald Trump being this, you know, superhero, and you know, it was over the top.
He said he's one of the best writers.
He talked about the opening scene of Rocky when he's in that church.
Mm.
He said that there was a picture of Jesus above him, and you could see there was a journey going. And he said, "Well, this man, he almost compared him to Jesus and Superman in the same speech." It was incredible.
Exactly. Yeah.
Talk about
because sucking Sylvester up Stallone. No, well, I don't think he's sucking up, because we all know we all make mistakes. And we said it last week. Well, we'll do it again. Donald Trump, the Operation Warp Speed, we all know that was a mistake. But
you can't make mistakes like that when you're that smart, Roller. It was a deliberate ploy. He did it deliberately, so he's not to be trusted at all. But that's I don't trust any politician. I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now.
He's not a politician. He's a superstar.
He's a hyperinflated car salesman on steroids.
Well, there you go. This is where we're going to have to agree to disagree, right?
And I didn't realize how tall he was. He's actually about 6'3".
Yeah.
He's a big bloke.
Yeah.
What about his son? His son looks like a fucking giant.
Tom Cruise, you work with him on set. How tall is Tom? He's like,
I didn't ever stand around next to him, but I was on the, I was on Mission Impossible. Chrissy
wants to say hello to you.
Tell her we're on the air, Rollo. So we're doing a show. She might not want to be on a recorded show.
Right.
She can say hello to me if she wants. But no, we're on a show, and she might. This is a private conversation. We're talking on a recorded show.
Oh, sorry, I'm put you on speakerphone.
Rollo, we're on a recorded show.
All right, mate. If
she wants to talk to me, I'll tell her I'll ring her tomorrow.
Yeah, trust me, she doesn't want to be on.
No, but I'll ring her tomorrow if she needs to talk about the house.
Okay, can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you still hear me? Yeah, all right, mate.
But Rollo, you're on a show. You're being recorded. Any private conversations or names?
Yeah, I shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do it.
Do that. Yeah. So,
okay.
How much have you had to drink?
Hold on, Chrissy. Did you get me some beers? Do you get beers for me? No. All right. See, she did. Chrissy's a top shelf woman. Yeah.
Yeah, just tell her you're talking, but just let her know that we're on.
No,
you're
all right. Okay, Rick says, know who you're talking to.
You're live on air at the moment. It's not a private phone call.
It's okay. I know how the microphone works here, and it's okay. Can you hear the TV that we're listening to right now?
No.
I know because. I've got the perfect mic. I used to work go. Hey, two.
Two Bob FM.
Yeah, but I was in a perfect, when at 101.3, Two Bob FM. I was in a perfect studio. Yeah. I swear to God, in that studio, me and Margaret, it was like Margaret and Rollo. Yeah. When I was 16 years old. Yeah.
Yep.
It was great time. Oh, I swear to God. Like, I can't believe one, Gwyneth Paltrow was 17 when she made that love scene. And, who was the girl in 1980? Brooke Shields was 14 when she made that love scene in. I know, it's crazy.
Blue Lagoon.
Blue. I love that movie. Yeah, but
I heard.
But
the most
a 14-year-old should not be. Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
no,
tell me.
All this conversation I had with the woman that lives near me. That's I'm hoping to bump into again. Let me just tell you. We were talking about films, and she worked on the sequel to Blue Lagoon.
Okay. Okay. And oh, yeah. That's right. They did make a sequel, didn't they? Yeah.
They did. And she told me the most incredible story, which I'm not going to talk about on air, but goodness gracious. Me. Oh, yeah. No, it's about the actress that was involved and what happened to her by the.
Someone the other night, your next door neighbor was saying that your next door neighbor was a paedophile. And I went, no way. Bruce Spence.
We can talk about. We've mentioned Fiona Barnett, we're talking about here. Yeah. No, but not only did she say, so she said Bruce Spence, John Laws, Ray Hadley, John Singleton, I'm telling you, Bert Newton, which I wouldn't be surprised, everybody. Now,
well, he might have been a gay boy, Bert.
What the rumor is, I'll kind of just kind of gloss over it, but his son ended up with serious mental issues later on in life.
That's right.
And apparently there was something happened. I'm not going to say. You can just imagine. Not with Bert and him, but someone else. Yeah.
His son was quite a good actor. He really was.
He was a great.
ABC thing.
I met him. He was a runner, which is when you first, if you get a job in a film, you get a job as a runner, and that's like a gopher.
There you go.
And doing everything. And I met him. I went to talk to him many years ago. But
let me ask my wife. What was Bert Newton's son's name? Do you remember? I'm just asking my wife.
Bert Newton's son.
Yeah.
He ended up taking off to America. But anyway, Roller, shut up here. So Fiona Barnett has an incredible story about Bert Newton's son and Graham, another famous, what's his name? Graham.
I know who you're trying to think of.
Who is definitely
In Australia.
Yeah, Graham Kennedy. Yeah. She says so much stuff. Now, a lot of what she said, I think, is verifiable. But then she started going on about everybody. Ray Hadley, for fuck's sake. I mean, everybody.
Yeah, Ray Hadley was the wife beater. That's all
he was.
We
said that. No, okay, don't repeat this conversation because we already said this.
All right.
No, he slapped his wife one night. You know,
These
things happen. They shouldn't happen if you're a celebrity and most women. I wouldn't have dared.
My ex would have killed me.
Literally, I'd be too scared to slap my exes. But anyway, what I did hear for many years later was that John Mellion.
He used to drink in the North Shore every day, at
Cremorne at that pub
at
Neutral Bay. I know the one.
John Mellion. What about him? You don't say anything too incriminating. Well, you think it was a little bit dodgy?
I think what we were talking about the other day. I was working with a famous actor from what's that TV show? A Country Practice.
Gordon.
Named him.
Piper.
No. I was working with the main. He was the star
Robert, not Robert Hughes.
I'm not going to say his name. Anyway, he told me a whole lot of stuff. I mean, I'm always in there for the gossip, and I've spent a lot of time around these people.
Gotcha.
But he reckoned was John Mellion was the, like really that into that kind of thing. And I thought,
I've heard that too. You never pick
that one. But
what about Paul? Paul Hogan, like who?
He was good mates with. Fiona would have said, yes, Paul Hogan was one. She said, everybody's one. And that's when I went, hang on a minute. This is just going. So what this is a technique. So basically what happens is that two of the people say.
Do you reckon Paul had any interaction with crocodiles?
No.
Whereas who was the Australian? Who died young?
Rollo. Yep. You want me to tell you an interesting story?
My old boss was
the guy that threw the knife in that scene where Paul Hogan throws the knife in that pub with John Mellion and Paul Hogan. And he reckons, he said to me, because I said, that's amazing. And he said, it was terrible because apparently he'd practiced, he was in the special forces, so he knew how to handle knives. But this was a big hunting knife, and he had to throw it and get it into the side of the wall, and it had to look like it'd been stuck in there properly. And so he reckons he had the full crew standing around wait. You know what happens to you when someone's watching you and you can't do something?
Like you going into
a urinal, for instance.
Where you want the money shot. Yeah, you want the money shot. Like you, like if you're in a porno, like, and
is it still in there?
I don't know.
No, it's gone.
Yeah. Oh, is that Gabriel? Sorry Gabriel. No,
I'm just discussing eggnog. We deliver. So he had the full crew standing around, going, "Oh, here, this is going to be good." You know, here he goes, and every time he threw it, it missed, and it took about 50 goes to get it into that target. And he said it was so embarrassing because he said, "Yeah," and I said, "It's because you're getting watched. If everyone's watching you." Like there's something happens when you're getting stared at, and he was a Maori, and they hate being looked at. I can tell you now, there's a big thing in New Zealand. Never stare at anyone in New Zealand. You want to fight? Look at someone, and you'll get one. And so that scene, it looked like it was a seamless thing, you know, where Crocodile Dundee picks up that big knife and throws.
If you're in your comfort zone, like where we are right now, we're totally relaxed right now.
Yeah,
like
I could pick
we're,
up.
We're in a up. We're in a we're in a studio. We're in a studio. I know I can raise my voice. I can do anything I want.
I'm sure Chrissy's got a baseball bat handy.
Well, Chrissy, have you got a baseball hat handy?
Baseball bat handy?
She just triggers it. No, I don't.
Forget that. Yeah. Okay. Well, if he gets too loud, hit him over the head.
Hey, if I get too loud, you're allowed to hit me over the head. Apparently, that's what Rick has said. Yep. She said she'll do it. She's got a mouthful too. So you got a mouthful.
You didn't say that you were sitting there watching TV. I just thought if you're doing nothing. We can do a
recording.
What are we? It's a nostalgia hour, and so we don't need to talk.
That's fine. What are we watching here at the moment? We're about to watch Stallone's last tonight. What we're going to watch is Tulsa King. We haven't watched it. So we're going to watch that tonight. At the moment, we're watching. It's like, what was it? What were those books that you used to read when you were a kid, Mills and Boone. Remember Mills and Boone?
I do remember.
Did you ever read Mills and Boone?
No.
You'd always wait.
Roll it. No, Mills and Boone were for little old ladies.
Yeah, but I was a little old lady. I always loved the ending of the chapter. You remember the end of the cliffhanger?
Yeah, and it was always some sailor, some old woman's fantasy, a sailor or a pirate.
You know it.
Flying in and grabbing them and giving them a big kiss. That was like it was porn for old ladies.
It was porn for old ladies. You're right. Yeah. It was classic. It was absolutely classic. And, and the big movies like when I was a kiddie, well, what was your favorite movie? I know that, what was that one in 1968? Was it called Kelly's Heroes? And you absolutely, you know, with Donald
Sutherland. 69
was it? Yeah, 69. Yeah. We've lost a few legends this year. I mean, Donald Sutherland was one of them. Canadian. But when did we lose the best guy in that? Clint is still with us, isn't he? Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, yes, he is.
I think he's still with us. He's 98 years old.
Look, he's 93 or 4. Sorry, I'm just watching.
No, 98. I think he's so close to 100. Yeah. So close to 100.
No, he's about 93 or 4. He's very old, though. Very old.
Yeah,
he was my favorite actor. He was my favorite actor, I'd have to say.
Rick and
Roll.
Brilliant.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
You're listening to Rick and Roll, on December the 28th, 2024. And we're discussing Clint Eastwood, Clint Eastwood. And yeah, he was my favorite actor, Roll. I can tell you now, every movie.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you one movie. Now, let's go. I'll tell you he started in
Rawhide.
He started as a cowboy and Indian. But then when he became, what was it now? When was it when he became like
the spaghetti western?
Yeah, tell me the, no.
He was starring in Rawhide. He was Rowdy. Mm. Not Rowdy, Roddy Piper, but he was Rowdy. I think it was Rowdy Yates. Yates and Rawhide, right? He got an approach from an Italian director, that Sergio Leone. He said, look,
there you go.
You know, we want an American, and there's going to be the guy's going to have no name. You don't have to speak much. So he went out and brought. He thought, well, he tried to think of how he'd look. So he went and brought all these cigars from a tobacconist, and he thought, I bet you I would smoke cigars if I was this guy. So he did I think it was Fistful of Dollars, right? Fistful of Dollars. Yep. Anyway, so he did the movie. He didn't even put down, he couldn't speak any Italian. They shot it all in Italy. He came back home and he said he was sitting at home and he was reading the Variety magazine, and it said, Sergio Leone's new movie, Fistful of Dollars, because he had no idea what the name of the film was. He just went there and did his part, and it started turning over huge sums of
money. That's classic, right.
So he had no idea. Well, he didn't do it for the, he did it for the money. But he had no idea.
But this thing was going to become. Don't we all do it? What we're doing right now, we do it for the money. Yeah, absolutely. No,
if we're doing it,
whatever wakes you up
for the money, I'll be very disappointed with my paycheck.
Trust me. Whatever wakes you up in the morning. There was a classic. What was it? When he went to America and did the who was the guy that turned down the role? I think his name was Frank Sinatra. Do you remember Frank Sinatra? He's a really good singer.
Do I remember Frank Sinatra? Let me think. I think I'm heard he turned down the role of Dirty Harry.
Dirty Harry. He turned it down. And they gave it to Clint after five people.
He probably could have pulled it off, as you know, but then he was not. He's only a little bloke. Clint's about 6'2", and looks the part and looked fantastic. But I'll tell you this interesting thing, Rob.
Go for it.
There's one film, or maybe two, that I've never seen of Clint Eastwood, and that I would have seen it because we didn't have videos in the 70s. So if a movie came out.
Oh, it's a rewatch. Yeah, you couldn't rewatch it.
The only way you could watch a movie again was if it came back as a Sunday night feature, and those movies did the spaghetti westerns and Dirty Harry. They'd be constantly on a couple of times a year. But you could not rent a movie and watch a movie. You had to actually wait for it to get re-released.
No chance. Yeah.
No chance. Yeah. But
I know. I watched Rocky and Rocky 2 at the movie theater, and I didn't know that it was like 1982 or something, or 1980 or something. I just didn't know that you couldn't do that.
Why I was getting at with keep the stick to nostalgia, Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen Thunderbolt and Lightfoot ever, and that was it was Jeff Bridges and Clint Eastwood, very young Jeff Bridges. So that came out in the movies about 76.
Wow!
But it only must have been it was an R16 or something, so I couldn't see it. You know, I was probably 10, 12 years of age.
Okay.
That never, ever, 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 ever came out. I've never, ever seen the video to it or the DVD of it ever. So I've never, ever watched to this day Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. And it's not a bad movie, apparently. It's a bank robbers, as usual.
All right.
And well,
when Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America, I'll have watched that on the 20th. Of January 2025.
What if Donald Trump gets abducted by drones before
I don't want him to be whacked. I don't want him to be
droned.
Do you think when his ear got clipped with that high power bullet, do you think that was fake? Do you think
yes. Oh, yeah, 100%. I was right onto that one. Yeah, 100% fake. It was all pre-scripted. Sorry, I was making noise here. It was all pre-scripted.
Okay. You definitely think that was fake.
Okay. 100% fake.
Well, I'm going to disagree. I disagree with you.
You're right. You're more than welcome to. But to me, it was just a joke, and I watched the, a high powered.
Did you get the joke? Did you get the joke? I didn't get it.
It wasn't. The joke was that the public thought that someone just clipped his ear, and it just miraculously healed within a couple of days. He was walking around without a big bandage on his ear.
There you go. Yeah. Did you see that bullet that somehow managed to catch? In that photo. Yeah. And it didn't. It wasn't near his ear, was it?
And the guy, he looked like he had a chemtrail flying above his head.
There you go. Perfect. You're big into chemtrails, right?
Yeah. I am, big time. But just the fact that that same photographer had also done shot the apparently that photographer had.
What do you think of the woman? The woman carrying.
Hang on, Rollo, shut up. The guy that threw I think it was the same guy that took that photo of the shoe getting thrown. He just was in the right spot at the right time with the right camera. Interestingly, they had this.
Well, what about the woman? What about the woman carrying behind? Where all the rest of them, when they grabbed hold of him and took him down.
And then held him
but
up.
That was, like and then they got that wonderful photo. Remember the wonderful
photo? Iwo Jima, just like Iwo Jima, the fight.
Iwo Jima was the where they're pushing that American flag, right?
Now this ties in. This ties straight in with Clint Eastwood. What did Clint Eastwood? He made the movie about the whole filming of the Iwo Jima flag raising ceremony, which is totally staged. I think even the movie suggests this, but those three guys ended up touring around. They got sent back home. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it took them four goes to get the right shot, with them raising that flag on Iwo Jima. Absolute load of old cobblers.
You know what it's like to work on a movie set. I mean, how much
boring?
It is boring most of the time. One of the my favorite stories. How boring it was when Keanu Reeves in 1997. It was a movie called The Matrix, and they're trying to get this helicopter or something, and your mates had to do
Now, he had nothing to do. He probably wasn't in the country. But I'll tell you this, this is the thing. American, anyone that's worked on a film in America, I'm talking about the, you know, from security to the thing called unit, you know, Doctor Who, unit Doctor as well. Well, on a film, the most important people on the film is unit. And they arrive and they set up all where you're going to have the toilets. They set up all the coffee and tea and the tables and that. Anything that anyone wants, unit does. Unit, it's a great job. It's, and you are on your feet all day. I should have been doing that. I don't know why I didn't ask for a job doing that, but I did. I like my job.
To keep all the actors happy, right? Well, now, you said Keanu had all his food, like, flown in. He wouldn't eat anything in Australia.
Yes, a whole lot. Yeah, and I used to spend a lot of time talking to her. She had this quite good-looking red-headed...
Oh, Carrie-Anne Moss. Carrie-Anne Moss.
No. Keanu's personal chef.
Oh,
and she
was
there on set. She'd be on set if he wanted a sprouted... organic sandwich made out of whatever. She did it. Great job if you can get it. But I used to talk to her all the time. I was fascinated because I've always been into organic food. And she said, "Well, you're not getting." She said, "The quality of organic food in this country, biogenetic, was it? Biogenetic? What's the word?" She said, "No, you can't get
fine.
It."
Wait.
She said that there was so much pesticide and crap. Yeah, she reckoned that our organic isn't worth a kettle of fish. He only had alive food. So Keanu Reeves did not eat anything that wasn't alive except for meat. Right. He didn't eat raw meat.
Well, let me ask you this question. When they did the, what was it called, that special effect where she jumped in the air, Carrie-Anne Moss, what was that called? That was called the...
Bullet time.
Were you there for that?
Yeah, I was. But unfortunately, I was downstairs.
So you
I
never
up on that floor.
So bullet time. The way it worked is like that they got cameras everywhere, like around,
and they swing it around. Yeah.
I swear to God, I would love to have been there.
So that was John. That was the guys that did the stunt, the fight scene. That was John.
Yeah, the Wachowski.
No. They bring in. It's a company. It's John Woo fight team, and there's all these Asians arrived in black with their. They have like all their nunchucks and all this shit and bags.
Wow.
Little blokes, and they all arrived. There's about 10 of them. And they went up the lifts, and I was downstairs. And
I'm so jealous that I didn't have any of that acting. Yeah, but
well, it wasn't.
But my job
was extraordinarily boring, but I got to talk to people, and you know, as you know, I love talking, and so I heard so many great stories.
Did you speak to Ray Hadley on air? How many times?
Why are we talking about him? A lot. I spoke to him a lot. I used to ring him up quite a bit.
Yeah, because I didn't think Ray Hadley did that much talkback, but there you go.
Yes, he did. That was a show. It was a talkback show.
Back in the day, but in later, I don't know why the hell he resigned. I don't know. It's beyond me.
Well. So he's tied in with this Fiona Barnett bullshit as well. So you've got all these new conspiracy theorists that listen to her and go, everyone's a pedophile. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and so they're all going off to this joint.
I'll ask you who is a pedophile. Let me just name some names, right? Alan Jones, is he a pedophile?
No. He was a school teacher, and that's what I was saying. Anyone that,
all right,
I think he, Mike, so he went to
Michael Hutchins,
teacher at Knox College.
Michael Hutchins,
he probably got no, he that guy was a ladies' man of the high magnitude.
Okay, all right, let me continue. Yeah, so what about
Gary Glitter?
I think yes, you're running the conversation now. George Michael.
No, he was into rough sex and public toilets. Completely That's different it. Hang around.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Put it this way, Cliff Richard's probably more into that than George Michael. I don't think George Michael was. He's bloody touring next year or this year. Next year. He's here.
What was his biggest hit? What was his biggest song? The Young Ones. That went in the band. The Young Ones. Remember the Young Ones? And they made
The Young Ones.
The comedy.
That was kind of a joke. But I actually like some of Cliff Richard's 70s songs. I'm actually a big fan of that Take Me High. I love that. I think it's a fantastic song. And he did some really good, you know, top of the pop stuff. But he was definitely of that bent.
Kenny Everett got on really well.
They were both homosexuals. That's why.
Yeah, that's right. But there's nothing wrong with that. What was that? What was that New Yorker? He said, "There's nothing wrong with that." I think his name's Jerry Seinfeld or something. He had a famous show. Do you remember him?
And yeah, nothing wrong with it. Yeah, that's so funny though. That I love that episode. I love the way that they to describe a homosexual. They always go the vacuum cleaner. I was doing that.
What about George? He could never another gig.
I'm done for.
George clean that.
Yeah.
He could never get. I think he's not George Costanza. Jason Alexander. Yeah,
talented guy.
What about the tall guy that said the N-word into a nightclub?
Michael Richards. Yeah, but he's a real big Mason, old Michael Richards. He's right in the secret handshake club. Oh yeah, guaranteed. Mm. And they reckon it could have been a humiliation ritual that he had to do, because I thought, why would a guy in New York of all places start screaming out the N-word in a nightclub? And you know that you're going to be done for, because you don't say things like that if you're an actor, because you're going to be acting with, you know, all sorts of different colored people.
I think sometimes people get bored, you know,
I find that hard to believe. I think that was a humiliation ritual. I'll say this again. The whole thing about these celebrity roasts, you know, you see these celebrity roasts back in the day
in the 1970s, but the funniest 60s, one.
60s and 70s, yeah. And you had 60. Don Rickles, Jewish comedian, getting up there and so I do believe there's a thing in the, is it the Hebrew? Was it Hebrew? Was it?
Okay.
Whatever. I think that they have this thing that they can do is all the dirty deeds they like all year round, but one night of the year, you get roasted and get humiliated by your friends and contemporaries.
Yeah. Yep,
and that clears your all the bad deeds that you do. Yeah, I think that's the thing, the celebrity roast. And they call it, it's actually a thing in Hollywood. They have it's called the Friars Club, F-A-R-I-A-R-S. Okay. Yeah, not frying club, but Friars Club. No. And they do this ritual of humiliating you in front of everybody, and I think there's a there that clears them of anything bad they've done. They go, people feel sorry for you.
Batman walking up the wall with Robin and who leans out? Who leans out?
Colonel Clinton.
The black guy. The black guy that's got the one eye. What was his name?
Sammy Davis.
Sammy Davis Jr. Remember
when Satanist. Satanist. Oh, Rollo, you've just bring me to another interesting conversation here.
Anything?
Did you know? Have you ever seen back in the day when the president Obama, they were playing his when he was going.
Emperor. Barry.
Yeah. So I reckon they were playing it backwards. It says "Hail Satan" instead of whatever that was.
I watched a thing the other day. It had Barry and Dubby.
Let me finish. I'm saying.
Oh, my bad. Keep going.
So it's interesting that the phrase that they repeat backwards to say "Hail Satan," it was actually the name of the book by what's his name? Sammy Davis Jr. had a book come out. The same exact phrase, and he was a Satanist. He was a Satanist. I can't remember the name of the phrases, but it's like...
What does a Satanist mean to you, though? What is that?
Someone to
lose... You're evil?
The left-hand path. Well, I don't know, but it's you see them die all the time. I saw a picture of that And I'm telling you, this English comedian is not funny. What's his name? That's a trend. He always dresses up as a woman.
Whatever you. Who?
Yeah, yeah, you know the guy. He's a British comedian. He's always dressed up as a woman. And
Kenny.
No,
keep going. Who was it? I want you to think hard. Who was it? Benny Hill. Benny Hill.
He's a famous. I don't think he can act, but everyone said, "Oh, he's so funny." He does that funny sketch about the Star Wars cantina. That's actually quite funny. Okay. But that's about the only thing I think is funny. And he's a British actor. Well, I don't say he's an actor, but he's a comedian.
Okay.
And I just saw a picture of him the other day with his eye closed. And I was thinking, why is that right eye closed? Why is your left eye open for? And they all have to do it all the time. All the time. I'm just going
to I'm going to have to think of this so hard now. So, a British comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And is he still with us? Is he still with us?
Yes, he is still with us.
All right. Well, can I look at it? Can I look at it? You're going to look
at it. Yes, you can. Yeah, what's his name? Fuck.
Kenneth Williams.
He was definitely a fucking
Rick and Roller. Rick and Roller. Yeah.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're listening to Rick and Rollo, 28th of December, 2024. And we're discussing weird satanic type stuff at this end. So it's yes, we can. Remember when Obama was going, yes, we can. Yes, we can. And someone was playing it backwards.
Barack Obama said, yes, we can.
Hail Satan. Yep. Hail Satan. Hail Satan. Yeah. And so Sammy Davis Jr.'s book is called Yes, I Can. And he was a big time Satanist. Like, he was hanging around all the right people when it comes to being a Satanist back in the
day. I want to ask the question. Okay, remember it's not Boxing Day, is it? It's like Saturday the 28th of December 2024. We've got Donald Trump coming in to be the president on 20th of 2025, but I love power. You know, I love power, that's why. Do you think me and John Laws got on so well?
I muted myself accidentally. Sorry.
No, you're okay. Do you know me and John Laws? That's why. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Who am I thinking of? He's a British comedian. And he does a very kind of funny sketch, but he's always been since the 80s and 90s, dressing as a woman. He's
I don't know chance. Everything. I don't know. I think his name's Dick Emery.
No. I'll Google it.
There you go. I'm glad to be told off. So it's not John Inman?
No. I'm talking about a recent comedian that's still alive. And he thinks he can act, but I'm telling you, he's a terrible actor.
Transvestite.
Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, he thinks he's a woman.
He calls himself Susie now.
Crazy.
But Eddie, he's not funny. He's not funny apart from, I will say that sketch, the Star Wars cantina scene when he's imagine the cantina.
Eddie Lizard. Yeah.
Funny that, isn't it? Eddie Lizard. And there he is covering his eye. Oh, no, he's got makeup. They can't open his left eye or his right eye. Just like Gordon Brown, I'll say it again, said it before.
Okay.
And hanging around with
What about the woman that her eye closed and she couldn't make it open again? Yeah.
I'll tell you now, it'll be staged. This is to tell everyone. This is the level I am as a Satanist. Everyone can. I'm quite happy to say that I'm blind in my left eye. David Bowie, Gordon Brown.
Yeah. What about the woman? The young girl. She was so famous for Disney. Do you remember? And then she became famous.
Slut.
Do you remember who she was? Don't Break My Heart. It was the Don't Break My Heart. I Ache You Break Your Heart. It was his daughter. Yeah. What was her name? I forget her name. Don't Break My Heart. I Ache You Break Your Heart.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I know.
You're talking about Hannah Montana.
That's Hannah Montana. But what was her stage or her real name?
I don't know, but I've seen some disgusting looking photos of her.
Chrissy, what was Hannah Montana's real name? Do you remember? Hannah Montana?
No, who sang
Achy Breaky Heart? Who sang Achy Breaky Heart? Do you remember, Chrissy? What was his name? I think it's something like...
It's Billy Ray Cyrus.
Miley.
Miley.
There you go. Well done. We worked it out ourselves.
Yeah. No, I didn't have to Google it. That was good.
I'm hopeless on names. Like,
oh my God.
When you were on set with Tom Cruise, were you allowed to look him in the eyes?
I was never standing around him. I was all over the place with that film. They have multiple locations. You have two or three units out there. You've got first unit, second unit, third unit.
So you were never told when you come into a famous
alcohol. I knew that, but they didn't have to tell me because I used to spend time with these people and you just
you treat
these fucking normal people like they're normal people. As soon as you spot a starstruck person in the game, they need to leave because if you're starstruck, you should not be working.
That's right. Yeah.
Stop staring at them. And that's, I totally agree. I'd sack, if I was on a film set and I was a star and I saw someone, useless eaters.
When were you first starstruck?
Never.
You've never been starstruck?
No.
I was. With John Laws. And he gave me the biggest hug. He gave me the biggest hug.
Did he kiss you?
He didn't kiss me. No.
No. Okay.
But he didn't retire because I said, don't retire. I said to him. Please, and then after 28/7, and then he went to 2SM.
Roller, if he only knew you were going to be such a pain in the ass and a thorn in his side on his radio show, he would have strangled you just like, what's his name, that did strangle you.
I think you're right.
John Tingle, who was a much nicer, easygoing guy, managed to strangle you.
I never met John Tingle, but he was a rich guy, Rollo, wasn't he?
Rollo, he strangled you.
No, that's John
Tingle. Your next door neighbor.
That's right. Okay.
I tell you now, this is a good show. This is how bad alcohol. If you want to find out what alcohol can do, kids out there, this is the Rollo. He's been talking nonstop about getting strangled by John Tingle.
I'm thinking of John Singleman.
John Singleton. Yeah. So yeah, Roy,
Singleton.
Tingle. Same thing.
But he definitely choked me out. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I lived at
John Singleton would headbutt you. That's what he would do.
Yeah.
And he does. And he
Whereas John Tingle was the shooter's party guy.
Yes.
Yeah. He died. His daughter, Laura,
is now a journalist for some big shows.
Classic.
Yeah.
It was classic. I didn't do anything wrong. He just he
thought you'd left the door open.
Exactly. He decided that
you must look like the kind of guy you want to strangle.
I think
and you are.
Train. What was his name? Our friend from WA. What was his name?
Noise level.
Yeah. The golden skin mark. Yeah. He thought it was hilarious that I was choked out, and he said to me, "You should have tapped out." You know what it is. Whereas you've been in a box.
Roll it. I woke up this morning, terrible, my one of my fish. I've only got two left. Dead, okay. floating in the
wow,
in the pond. And it's my favorite, not my favorite one, but it was the baby fish that's now really big. Mm. And I think I might have had something to do because I cleaned their pool out yesterday, and I may not have put enough water softener in there, or, you know, the water agent. And it was floating dead. And I got up, first thing I had to do was flush a fish down the toilet, because that's what I did.
Did you do it so the kids didn't, because the kids will cry about that.
No, I rang them up.
Well, that's right. Gabriel. How old's Gabriel now?
He's 18 years. He was still upset though, because with this fish we've had for many years, and we've now only got one left. So I've got one cat, one fish. It's really bad. I'm down on the pet department.
I tell you what, Rick. You know, because even though you're older than me, like how old are you now? 60?
Yes.
60, yeah. Where I'm 55. I'm, mm-hmm. I'm 55. It's losing the people around you that is the biggest hurt.
True.
Yeah, where's Superman? Superman can't be hurt, right? You can only hurt the people around him.
Yeah.
Superman is just invincible, right? So how do you make a story with Superman? How do you do it? You've got to make sure there's someone who knows people that you love. It's exactly what Richard Donner said in 1977. How do I make a story about this? This guy that can fly, he can wear his undies on the inside out. Yeah, exactly. You know, he just, how do you make a comic book movie about it? And Richard Donner did it. Because, who wrote Lex Luthor? He knew what his
who wrote Lex Luthor?
Were. The Jewish, brothers, 1930 or something. It was a long time ago. Yeah. The Jewish brothers. 1930. They drew the comic as well.
They all were. So it's Stan Lee. I've always gone on about this. So Stan Lee and all these. All you've got
Stan.
Is this highly amazing ancient symbology, all retold again and again and again. Archetypes all the time. Spider-Man, Thor.
Yeah, you know, Spider-Man that was hard to put to screen because you needed to take his mask off. That was a lot harder. Whereas Superman, you know, with his when he put his glasses on, I mean, did anyone who was the Superman in the 1950s? That was a mysterious death. It was George Reeves.
Yeah. It's just saying that I have Christopher Reeves and George Reeves, isn't it? Coincidence.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting.
No relation.
No. And did you see that movie about when the kid just pointed a gun at him and he goes, okay. And he was really worried. Because, like, I'm not Superman.
Have they made a movie about it?
They made a movie about his death. His death was really suspicious, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a gangster that came around and threw him out a window or he got shot in the head or something. He'd been sleeping with someone's
something,
wife.
Yeah, I know. Well, once you become famous, you become a bit of a, like, you know, famous people, when they, sometimes they become, you know, they just, we'll sleep with anyone.
Yeah.
That classic movie, what was his name? The guy from that 60s TV, we were talking about it the other night. His name's Bob Crane. And you said something like his child now is selling his movies.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. It's hardly what you call a great father memory to be doing that, you know, but if there's money in it, this is the way people are these days.
That's right.
Yeah, this is the way.
No, no, but look, the movie was great. I think it was miscast. I don't think Greg Kinnear should have played Bob Grant.
Well, we said that. We've already done. We just did it last show. Yeah,
but there's a lot
of stars that shouldn't have done it. But it's a great story. If it's, you know,
it is a great story. It is.
Crane was actually a radio star way before he became a TV star.
Because of the voice. Yeah, the voice.
He had a great voice, and he was the Doug Mulray of LA or Hollywood.
That's right.
FM, AM radio. It would have been AM back then, I guess.
So Doug Mulray, I loved, and Andrew Denton wrote most of it. Yeah, all his gags.
The Boy Wonder.
He was the Boy Wonder, wasn't he? Yeah,
that's what they call him.
I loved Triple M when I was a kid, and because I used to listen to AM. I listened to AM with John Lawless, right?
Yeah,
because I was in love with John Lawless, but it was when FM came in. How could you possibly find that hard to believe? Because
I'm joking.
Yeah, exactly. And but
you block it.
I swear to God, Triple M, Doug Mulray, and that beautiful FM, and you know when he's playing, you know, whatever music, what was popular at the time, the newest, like the brand new clip of, INXS's brand new song, 1988. Yeah, I was classic.
Kick.
Yeah.
Kick. Yeah.
Yeah, Kick, great album. I could have played that. I could have played that whole thing in one go.
Actually, well, tonight we might sign out with an excess song. What song would you like?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, did Joel play the Bomb?
Yes, he did.
Bomb
MC. Yes, he did. Did he? Yes, he did. Yep.
Oh, well, what a legend. Well, it's your turn to have a go. So, what song would you like? How about an Angels song?
Oh, okay. Let me think.
An Angels song. What about Shadow Boxer?
No.
Go for it. No, it's your it's your turn.
Okay. Angel song. We played Ivory Stairs the other day.
I met Doc on the North Shore of
Lake Ontario.
I met the whole band. I met the whole band. Yeah. Again, this is me being a bit of a, you know. I like being, saying that I met famous people.
Yeah, well, sort of was.
It was classic. Well, it was classic. It was in the North Sydney. It was called Crow's Nest. It was Crow's Nest Hotel. It was a pub. Yeah. And I just got a job for Westpac or Wales Bank. Remember? I just got that job. Yeah. And so I was at lunchtime and I'm sitting at the bar and I go, that sounds like the Angels. And I look around and they go, and they were called the Spirits or the Wine Spirits.
Yeah, that's what bands do. They do a rehearsal so they can rehearse.
Yeah, that's what they did. Yeah.
And they turned up. They were all there.
I went, you got to be fucking kidding me. And there was no one there.
Excellent.
It was classy. I went, wow, what an honor. And then
really nice guys, very down to earth.
Yeah, absolutely. Where they didn't want to, they didn't care that I was starstruck. I was.
Well, a huge band.
They were massive. Mushroom Records owned them at the time, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they did. All right, well, we'll do that. We'll sign, because you can go and watch your TV show. We've done an hour.
What angels? What about that beautiful woman?
I'm not the one.
Is that the song you want?
Yeah. I'm not the one.
Really?
I ain't the one.
Not Chrissy Amphlett? Not
Chrissy Amphlett? No,
I'm not the one. Angels.
Oh no,
that's what we're going now with.
We can play. No, we can play.
Sleeping Beauty is one of my
Sleeping Beauty. Yeah, okay. No, I like that too. By the Divinals.
Sorry, Doc. We're going to go out with Sleeping Beauty.
Doc. Yep. Beauty. Yeah.
All right, mate.
By the Divinals, great band. All right, Rolly, go and watch your TV show and say hello to Chrissy.
I'm watching
me
it.
After, yeah. All right,
Chrissy says hello back to you.
All right, I'll speak to you.
Sleeping Beauty.
So you listen to Rick and Rollo on the wonderful 28th of September 2024. And we're going over the Divinal Sleeping Beauty. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and now. Actually, no, not now. 2 seconds, because I haven't got my thing to press. Divinal Sleeping Beauty, now. Thank you, Billisette.
Waiting.